Peaceful Army.
Peaceful Army.
Welcome to the podcast of the Peaceful Army.
What? Really?
And I'm not sorry.
What does it mean?
Oh my god!
Greta's gonna wreck my shit.
Yes, I'm obsessed with Greta Van Fleet, and what do you care?
I think I'll make this my entire identity.
That was not very Peaceful Army of you.
If you don't like it, you can fuck off!
That intro is such a hype song for me now.
It really is. And I didn't feel it until like right now. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, we're here. We're in it.
We're here. We're doing this.
Welcome to the podcast of the Peaceful Army. I'm your co-host, Lindsay.
And I'm your co-host, Zoe. We're so excited for today.
I think I'm the most tired I've been in a long time. And yet I am so excited to talk Greta with you tonight.
This is going to be a fun episode, guys. We're going to get into the art. So if you're listening on audio only, this will be a very visual episode. So I do suggest going over to YouTube. I will try my best to explain it all, but it's going to be better when you can see everything.
I'm going to do my very best to, in silly terms, explain what we're looking at, because I think that's hilarious.
Silly terms are good. Do we want to start with some breaking news?
Yes, because we have huge news, and Greta dropped huge news ever since the last episode. The fucking second leg, my guy. It's real.
Manifested that shit.
We manifested it, and I'm so excited that we got, like, we got tickets in general, but not just that. Like, we got good ones, man. We got good ones.
Dude, I'm gonna touch Jake Kiska. I cry about that every damn day.
And oh, Davey's gonna walk behind him. So y'all, we got, and I feel really like I'm trying to hold both in the hand of like, I know a lot of people are mourning, but like we also are not. I don't know how to like do both. But yeah, we are gonna be at the St. Louis show. In the pit.
We're gonna be in the pit.
We finna be in the pit, bro.
I waited my turn for this.
Yes.
I feel like I deserve the pit. You deserve the pit.
Thank you. You too.
It's pit time.
It's pit time.
It's pit. And you know what? We're not going to be in pits, but we're pretty blessed with our seats. So.
Well, that's where we'll probably get a chance to just do a little. And right behind the Jakester is going to be Dan the Man. So. That was the most dad way of describing both of them. So
that's like how your dad would describe your best friends. Is Jakester and Dan the Man coming over to me?
It's my way of not getting really, really like squealy about it.
I'm squealy every damn day about it.
Oh my god, I'm so excited, dude. They're both gonna be phenomenal concerts, and we are so like blessed not only to go to both, but to go to both together.
Yeah, okay. If you follow us on TikTok, you might have seen our live reactions to us getting the pit seats, because we didn't get them in pits, and that was the first one that we did. We were a little sad about that, but then
I knew we were gonna get them in St. Louis, because I'm originally from St. Louis, and there's just something about the Midwest that's like, nobody really wants to come here.
Nah. But I've never been, except now I'll come for you. And Greta.
Yes. Yeah, and Greta. But like, I think there's something special about just like, I mean, we got them for face value, which is just insane. What did you say? Like only 30 tickets for pit and presale?
That's what I saw. And I think a lot of people were not too thrilled with that, especially at the more popular shows.
I
think each round of presale only gave out 30 seats or 30 tickets, which makes sense, I guess, but it's still not great.
Well, it also kind of doesn't though, because I definitely saw more than three a piece, 30, you know, selling out. But I think that, I don't know, man, the stars aligned. The Greta gods wanted us to be in pit in St. Louis for opening night. In my hometown. I'm not even like that big of a St. Louis person. I honestly don't live there anymore. But like, I don't know. It feels like it's going to be incredibly special. Yeah. And I'm very excited for it.
Also, other news, I guess, that we can touch on is that Danny has been very active. So that has been killer.
Too much. He's such a little lurker. And I'm both. It's like the most It's a double-edged sword because I want that, like, recognition, but I'm also terrified of it. Like, yeah. I don't want to tag him on anything because I'm terrified he'll see it.
Yeah. Yep, I get it. I get it.
He's just lurking in the background all the time.
He's still there.
Look at me.
Sorry, I'm going to try to get through this news because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Last thing I think that's important is kombucha.
The kombucha, here's the thing. I'm not going to eat that shit. I'm not a kombucha girly, but.
I can't do it. My stomach is too sensitive. So I literally, maybe I'll get one to just try a sip and have the can, but I can't as a stomach ache girly.
I will not partake, but the best of luck to everyone who does.
Yes. It seems like we need Brittany Broski to try it, though. That's all I'm going to say.
She does have to, and if she doesn't, I'll be really, really upset with her.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Should we get into it? I'm
so excited. 100%. 100%. This is what I've been, like, the most excited for all week.
Yay! Me too. I've been working on it nonstop, so I'm excited. All right. Here we go.
God. It's real. It's real. It's happening.
We're going to art all over you guys. Get ready for it. So as I said at the beginning of this episode, this will be a very art focused episode. It's going to be all about the vinyl artwork. It's going to be about other artwork that has been part of the Greta Infosonicosm. So get ready for all of it. We got to start here, you know. Have you ever looked at art? And if you've looked at any of the boys, then yes, you have looked at art. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have you ever looked at art and wondered, what the fuck does this mean? Because us too, so that's why we're getting into this. First things first, we're going to jump back to the OG From the Fires. We touched on this last episode with the character building and all of that, but I just want to talk about the art vibes. It's very cozy. It's got kind of a painted look to it, so it's got some sort of like comforting touch to it. And then we have, you know, our master and the four boys, and we've already talked about what this means last episode, but something to keep in mind as we move forward here, you know?
There's like a lighting technique that it reminds me of like Italian Renaissance art in a way.
Yeah. Next up, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. I think this one just looks like somebody had a fun day in Photoshop. Like somebody was assigned a task in class and they just made this. But there's a lot going on here. If you think about it, we got the Rocky Mountains, this little dome thing happening. What's that? Don't know. The Peaceful Army's back Epcot. There, which is really cool. The Epcot ball. And then we're going to get into what I think is something that we could take away from this album cover is the double suns. And the religious connotations that come with double suns. So I'm going to read straight from this slide because I literally just copied and pasted. So this is from Christianity, I believe, or some sort of that line of faith. The prophecy of the two suns has been interpreted as meaning that when two suns are seen, the world is about to undergo a period of intense change, followed by a cycle of realignment and healing. The deeper spiritual significance is that the great earth changes that are so widely anticipated will result in a profound shift in the consciousness of men and women everywhere and the releasing of a surge of new spiritual energy. That sounds just like Greta Van Fleet, honestly.
But that's exactly what that album's about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I found some other double sun theories that I thought were cool. Didn't necessarily apply, but I thought were cool. In the mythology of the Navajo people, a Native American tribe in the southwestern United States, there are two suns, a male sun and a female sun, who take turns rising and setting. The male sun is associated with summer and the female sun with winter, and the two suns are said to represent the balance and harmony of the natural world. Kind of cute.
So cool.
Right.
Is there part of you, too, that wonders, like, is it the same sun, but one is being shown as being eclipsed?
That could also be true. I didn't think of that. I was just thinking two suns, man.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like Greek mythology too, of like, you know, the twins. Artemis and Apollo, like with the sun and the sky. And
that's true too. I didn't even think about that.
Oh yeah, it's giving You're big so twin smart. Energy. I'm gay. It's fine. Twinergy. The gays are very into Greek mythology.
Mythology. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I see. I was Egyptian mythology, so kind of there.
It's similar.
Now we're gonna dive into the hard hitting stuff. Get ready, because 90% of this episode is about to bag and all the art, because oof. This is when shit got real. They gave us a ton of art. They gave us a ton of symbols. They gave us the vinyl artwork, the color theory, and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and water. Not really water, but Earth, Wind, and Fire for sure.
Yeah.
This is the part I'm so excited for, because when I say this episode is called Taken by the Madness for a reason, it is. I was taken by a madness when I was researching this, so 100%. Get ready.
100%.
All right, we're starting with this bad boy. This is on the just the regular version of Tabag. I have it myself here. You know.
No way. Just... I literally went to go pull mine out. It's right next to me.
Yeah. It's just the regular version. It's
We're looking at the inside of the classic vinyl.
Yes, sorry for our audio listeners. I got to be better at describing stuff. I'm so sorry.
I got you. You go off the deep end, and I'll be like, in here we have this picture.
You'll be the NPR narrator.
Exactly.
So this one, we're going to analyze just a little bit, but I want to look at them more as a collective afterwards when we're done. But this one obviously seems to be like something is going on here. What is happening? There's a flame lit around the archer. Mm-hmm. What's up with him? And why is he aimed at the garden?
I love too how like he's in the forefront and you're looking towards the gate. And like that's like the journey of the album. Like you read from left to right the entire journey of the album. Like it's happening all in front of you in this one picture.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot happening. I'm so excited. I can't even like hide how excited I am to go into all of this.
Literally don't. Okay.
These are the biggest things that I pulled out from that image. So we have the archer who's lit on fire or has the ring of fire around him. That's a motif that we see a lot in the music videos as well. But I'm sure we'll have a whole deep dive into the music video someday. But that is something we've seen in the Falling Sky music video, something we see here. So what's up with the ring of fire, man? And then we got black smoke rising, just rising out of the ground. I just thought it's
also like that looks like a one person fire, whereas the smoke in the background looks like the like capital B black smoke rising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And then we have the garden. She's so pretty. I love the garden.
Really gorgeous.
And speaking of the garden, have you ever thought about maybe the influences for the garden? Yeah. I don't know. Have you?
Have you?
I think it's the Garden of Babylon because I was researching about it. And look at the structure that is generated here. It's that very tier-like structure that is similar to our garden. And then this is one of the gates in the middle here of the city of Babylon. And doesn't that look eerily similar to the front of the garden in Battle Gardens Gate, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I think so. Just with like the pillars on the side and then the archway opening. Just giving me Tabag vibes. I don't know.
100%.
In case anybody isn't familiar with the history of Babylon, it was like a very big city, I think in the Mesopotamian era. It was like kind of a big deal. And they had all these big walls and the garden is more of like a, they don't know where it was. They don't know if it was really real. It was just this very lush and beautiful place. And I think it was built, in theory, it was built by some ruler. And he built it for his wife who lived in a very lush green place. And he wanted to kind of replicate that for her. That's kind of what I read. I'm skimming here. Next, I'm moving on to the variants of the vinyl insert. So this is the very dark black and gray one. This was from the actual, I believe it was black vinyl. There's a lot going on this one. And I want to dive into each piece, but as you can see, the mood has really changed here. Everything is dark except the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is gray and dreary. And there's all these machines, and the archer has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Except the garden, which is glowing still and still fine. Like, all the trees are there. Like, everything around it is just in desolation. So,
I do think it's interesting, too, how the three stars, only one of them is obscured at this point. And there's like a moon, or maybe that's even like the star has moved closer above and to the right of the garden. Like, what's going on with that?
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. I got something for you.
It's so cool.
Okay. Here's our breakdown. So I'm going to break down each
where he go?
Variant. The archer's fallen. Where he go?
Where he go?
And then I also included what songs I think are associated. Age of Machine, definitely, for this one. Like, look at all the machines everywhere. Duh. And then Black Smoke Rising, even though that's not from this album, I think it fits here. There's a lot 100%. Of Black Smoke Rising, yeah. You know?
And Age of Machine and Black Smoke Rising, like, really are connected in my mind. They, like, Age of Machine is the fulfillment of what happens when you don't heed the warning of Black Smoke Rising.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. I think you are very correct about that. And then the moon, which you brought up, but I also was thinking, why is the moon out? So I was looking into like the significance and spiritual meanings of full moons. The full moon symbolizes a time of release and completion.
Mm.
So completion of what? Completion of this age, completion of the battle. What does that mean? It's also just like so eerie. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's an eerie looking moon.
It's very like, it reminds me of a very still night. Like this one just like embodies death to me, honestly. Like everything is decimated, and it looks like the aftermath of like industry.
Yeah. I would agree with you. And just seeing like that the archer has lost his head and his hands, like that's got to symbolize something, because they could have just had him all in pieces everywhere, but he lost his head, making me think that he's not thinking for himself anymore. He's become part of the machine.
100%. Well, and in the music video, not to get too much to the music video, but for Age of Machine, right, that's where they're tearing apart the statue, right? So either the archer is the statue, or the archer symbolizes humanity in general, or the, you know, the characters like losing their humanity, but it's connected to that plot line for sure somehow.
Yes. Yeah. And when we do like song breakdowns, we have a lot of theories for that song. And but if we're being specific about songs with lots of theories, it's that one.
Yes.
And don't worry, I have more when we get to the symbols later. So I'm so excited. Okay, next one. We have our white vinyl. It's very pretty, very bright. The archer is standing here. All right, he's standing. He's up there. But he's not lit. He's just aimed. He's ready. And the whole land is just covered in snow, except the garden, which is still green.
Eternally
and
green.
And has this bright orange glow around it.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that? All right, breakdown again. The garden is still alive, but it's cold. That it's magical, so duh, of course it would survive winter. songs that I think are associated with it, I didn't really feel like there were a ton that I thought resonated with it really well. Frozen Light, but that hadn't even been released yet by the time these inserts came out. I don't know. Do you have any songs that you think are associated with it?
I think Frozen Light fits perfectly, and I think that especially the story of Frozen Light fits perfectly because it seems to be part of the storyline of just, like, traveling, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Where if they were traveling towards the garden, this is the kind of landscape that seems like it would exist in. And if we're following the whole Four Seasons trope, like, yeah, it seems like that would be what it would look like in that time era.
Yeah. And then the white birds... The little white birds, that's like the only like alive thing we really see other than like the plants and stuff. And white birds symbolize peace, harmony, new beginnings, a connection between the spiritual and physical world. We had a lot of connections between the spiritual and physical world with this stuff. So
that's what I love about this album. Love those little antennas, like, just keep reminding you of that, because everything is so like scenic and beautiful and like luscious, but then you're like sci-fi also. It's interesting.
Yes, very sci-fi.
All right, you ready for the next one?
I'm so ready.
It was one of my favorite ones. I love the red one.
This one's scary.
It's so scary. There's so much going on. Our three stars are in the sky. There's a lot of fire. And that kind of like reddish orange glow is matching the opening of the garden's gate. Like, it all just kind of is together. So we're going to head into the breakdown now.
Okay. I'm not going to sing, but imagine I am. And the faces are still burning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everything's on fire. But also, there's still snow at the base of the garden. So is it still winter when they're burning everything?
Is that snow or is it just gray, like, volcanic ash?
I mean, if you look at the mountain, like, it could be volcanic ash, but it does look a lot like snow still.
I would have to say I don't agree, but that would be kind of cool to connect them.
I'm going to go over to the big picture. It could be volcanic ash, but it's really far from where all the fire is.
Yeah,
and all
of
the ice was over there. So
true, but it could also just be the glow of the garden. Like, the glow of the garden is literally like lighting it up that much.
That's true. You're very right about that. Songs that are associated with it: Broken Bells, Tears of Rain, and The Barbarians. I think those three are the darkest on the album, and I think they relate most to the fire, intense war zone type.
Yeah, there's also. There's also like a secondary page within the colored vinyls, right? That has like a symbol on it. Did this one have the Broken Bell symbol?
I think so. I don't know. I have my vinyl booklet here. So let's see what area Broken Bells is in.
I think when I remember, is it Alexander GVF? I remember her saying there were specific colored inserts with specific, some of them had specific song symbols, but I don't remember.
I'm sure there are. Mm-hmm. I just don't have it on me. I tried to find everything like insert wise, and it was very hard. Like, I couldn't find everything for the original online when I was researching. I'm sure that there is something that aligns with that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody could send us a picture, that would be great. But
somebody could just like send us the vinyls, like
So you know, they could just send it over. I wouldn't be sad about them.
Spare to bag colored variants. This one reminds me of Mordor.
It is very Mordor.
Yeah.
With the volcano.
Yeah. Which that's another thing that happened since our last episode, where they both were like, yeah, my inspiration is Lord of the Rings. Fucking knew it.
Oh my god, wait, we talked about that. We didn't.
It happened like that day or like maybe the next day.
Yeah. It happened the next day that the boys went on Discord and answered questions.
And we were like, shit, we just recorded the episode. We were like, I don't know. Maybe they're inspired by Lord of the Rings. Fucking, of course they are.
Yep. Yeah, of course. So yeah, that ties into more of the medieval theories and just kind of solidifies everything. All right, trying to move through this because there is a lot. Broken Bells, signifies that even when things seem at their worst, you still have to persevere through it all. When out of silence, we will sing, and even broken bells will ring. So it's just like about perseverance and endurance, because obviously this is the scariest moment at the garden's gate. You gotta persevere. Next slide, we get the green variant. This one is my favorite, but I don't know where in time this is. Is this before or is this after? Because there's like very little mountain development to the left side, but there's a lot more mountain development on the right side compared to the other ones. So it's kind of like, is this way after the battle and everything is overgrown and like healed and the landscape has changed? Or is this before the battle, like many years before? I don't know.
And you think like, so that's the Weight of Dreams symbol. Mm-hmm. And you, to me, like that's very indicative of the like end of the battle, and the weight of the dream has crushed us and killed us. You know what I mean? And so you'd think like that would be in the red one. You know what I mean? Like when things are like really, really tough, I mean, it's literally a red flag. You think that would be like somewhere where you don't see any like hopefulness, but this one's very much like life born anew, and it seems like nature's healing a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. It's kind of like a, it is so different from some of the other ones in terms of landscape that it's just so interesting to look at. I don't know. And the desert, like out of kind of nowhere, because the other ones, it's like more like mountainy. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. And the one star, like you can, all the other ones are obscured. There's only one star now.
Yep. Two of them are gone. So, okay. Like I said, this one's very different. The trees, the green, all there. Life is very abundant. What songs are associated? You might dispute me on this one, but I think Heat Above. Yeah. I don't know why, but like, it's something very healing in the song Heat Above that like it just feels very healing, like the earth is healing, tears of rain wash down to bathe you, like I don't know,
there had to be rain to make the greenery.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, that's just my thought. Doesn't have to be that, but just something I was pondering upon. And then the flag obviously is important. It's very piratey. I know Jake was behind this. So we're gonna go back to the colors theory. Alexandra_GVF on TikTok. Her theories are that the vinyls are printed in the order from the original, the white, black, red, and finally green. It gives us some sort of timeline for the battle at Garden's Gate. I agree, but then I think about it sometimes. I'm like, I feel like I could interchange some of the timelines. I don't. You are a hardcore believer of this timeline, though, right?
I don't think I'm necessarily a hardcore timeline believer. I just think it's an interesting concept to think, like, where are these screenshots dropped in time? And does that give us a timeline for some of the songs? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm very like, I don't want to commit to a singular timeline because I don't think there is one. Like, I think there's many, but I do like the idea of like, oh my God, now the archer has lost his head. And so then that's why this happens. And like later on when Starcatcher gets introduced, like, oh my God, that makes sense here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think her theory makes a lot of sense. Just sometimes I think that it could also go the other way, you know?
I don't know.
But I was thinking a lot too, and this is going to tie into why I think Heat Above is associated with the Green Album, is I don't think Heat Above is the beginning of the album. I think it's actually the end. I think it's the last song in terms of timeline.
Even though the Weight of Dreams flag is there at the end?
Yeah, Heat Above tells me that we didn't win this battle, and we're going up.
Life's the story of ascending to the stars above, and then where do we go after that, Starcatcher?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, wait a minute! In a damn yeah. second. Yeah. Yo, yes. wait, because then, oh my fucking, no, shut the fuck up, because if he, no, no, because if Heat Above is the last one, we rise to the stars above, and then we fucking meet the master.
Yeah, well, listen, I think Heat Above is a reflection on everything that has happened at the battle, and we're recalling it, like, we didn't fight for war, you know, we marched across the land, we sung, we did it all, and now we're in the stars as one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although, it's also kind of connected to Trip the Light Fantastic, too, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Trip, and that's an episode for another time, but Trip the Light Fantastic meeting the Master, they would go together. Whereas, it seems like the character who's singing Fate of the Faithful, which is the opener for Starcatcher, has a very different attitude about spirituality than Josh, who's singing meeting the Master.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, we'll have to talk about the lyrical and song impacts on it all.
Oh, but yeah.
I'm just bestowing my theory upon you that I don't think Heat Above is the beginning of the story. I think it's the last song. And I think the boys have actually said that too, that it's not, it's more of like an ending song, even though it's at the really? Beginning. I could be very wrong, but I feel like in my many studies today, I read something about it being more of an ending than a beginning.
I like that a lot. It's definitely a better, for me, it feels like, because it's an incredibly hopeful song and it gives me a lot of like solace. It would be a much better feeling within the story if I'm like putting myself inside the story. It would be a lot better of a feeling than the end of Weight of Dreams, because the end of Weight of Dreams yeah. is very, oh, that one makes me feel things.
Yeah, it does. It's very feelsome. But this is why, again, I don't want to get too much into song theory. I feel like the Weight of Dreams is the start of it all, like the manifest destiny of it. Mm-hmm. The song is kind of based on the idea of the California Gold Rush and like the yeah. weight of getting to be a part of that. And I think that kind of like ties into more of the beginning of the storyline and why the battle happens. And then we end with Heat Above. I think we're completely backwards.
I like that.
Release order.
I agree. I like that a lot. Like, there's also people that are there being like, we're not fighting for this. We're fighting for each other. And I like that the story can end that way, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Just a thought. Just a thought. And I'm going to get into more stuff. And I'm so excited. Okay.
I also love that. Sorry, just to like side tangent. I love that it's nearly impossible for us not to talk about like song analysis as well, because they connect all of it so beautifully.
It's so perfect. I love it. Next, we're moving on to the symbols. Yes! I did a first analysis of this that I posted on my own personal TikTok, because when I found out about it, I was so excited. But since then, I've made some interesting discoveries, and this is the part I'm most excited for, so I hope you're ready.
I'm locked okay. and loaded, my guy.
Perfect. So I just want to say yes. that Greta is not the first band to use symbols in their album artwork before, because Rush used them before, and actually the Weight of Dreams symbol is on there, and the Stardust Chord symbol is on there.
It's cool as hell. I've never seen this album art.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then I found it on Reddit and I was like, whoa, wait. But these symbols are not unique to the band, guys. They're symbols that are like alchemy symbols, symbols from the medieval times. So
most of them.
You just wait, girl. I found some more. You're gonna be, it's all very medieval. Let me tell you that right now. Okay, something I want to get into. And the influence of this album and the influence of these symbols is, I'm going to say it wrong, but esotericism?
That's right.
Which is like a whole mindset of like the medieval ages, because it represents a modern scholarly construct rather than a pre-existing self-defined tradition of thought. It's like all of the other religions, basically. All of the other traditions during the Age of Enlightenment, this was like, hey, magic, superstition, occult, like witchy stuff, all of this is its own thing. different than like the traditional cookie cutter religion. And I think that's so cool. This originally, I found all of this originally because I was watching the Stardust Chords live version. And I saw this little symbol behind Joshua. And I was like, what the hell is this? That's not Stardust Chords.
No.
So I drew it out on a little notepad. And then I took a picture of it, put it onto Google Lens, and it brought me like all of this. So
you hacked the mainframe.
I hacked the mainframe, man. I did it. And I was having a really hard time finding this, but I saw somewhere, and then I couldn't find it again, that this symbol is kind of like a representation between the spiritual world and the like real world. So like that little moon shape is the spiritual, I think, and everything below that little like circle at the end is the real world.
It's cool.
I need to find more about that, but that's, you know what,
it also looks like a cross with a harp, which is like representative of music in general. So if the moon were the skies and the circle is Earth, then that's like the axis. Music is like the axis between.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
The music.
I just made that up.
Joins us. I love it. But art can be whatever it wants to be, depending on who's looking at it. So
exactly.
I love that. Okay. And then I found this.
Yo, what the fuck? 12 Keys of Basil Valentine?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
When I tell you I was on a Wikipedia deep dive today, I don't even know how I came across it. I was looking at alchemy stuff, and then I saw this book, and it was like the 12 Keys of Basil Valentine. And I was like, wait a second. 12 songs, 12 keys, the key.
Shut the fuck up.
And I was like, wait a second. So I'm looking into it, right? It's one of the most important books about alchemy works. It's like very important. Each chapter is a key with a description of a step-by-step process to make the philosopher's stone.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
This is so cool.
Yeah. Each step has like symbolic names and meaning, and it's like a giant riddle, 12-step riddle on how to make the philosopher's stone.
Bro, we were on a different level in the medieval ages.
Right. It's crazy. So this is what I thought was really interesting, because this feels very like how Greta wants us to listen and interpret Battle at Garden's Gate. And it's very similar to how this book is supposed to be interpreted. Only a knowledgeable reader or alchemical adept was able to correctly interpret the veiled language of the allegorical text and its related images. Is that not like...
No! They said, peaceful army, go find it. Go find it. Go dig.
Yeah.
Get your little yum, yum, yum. Eat up, fam.
And I did. I ate. So basically, this whole book is about creating the Philosopher's Stone, which is a mythical substance believed to cure disease, confer immortality, and turn ordinary metals into gold. So it was like very...
Dreams and gold,
big
baby.
Deal. And if you've seen Harry Potter, you know the Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Also known as the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, yeah.
But I just thought this was really cool and a cool way to think about the album, that each song is a key.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I had no idea that this like existed. That seems so like essential, especially because the key is so like... It's just everywhere in the art.
Yeah. I could also just be pulling all of this stuff out of my ass, and they're going to watch this someday and be like, what are these girls on? Like,
so did Basil fucking Valentine. Like, we are all making our own. We're all making up our own shit. Like,
is it Basil or Basil?
I don't fucking know.
Some long name.
I feel I have to stop myself from being like, somebody else knows so much more about this shit than I do. But you know what? Nobody else has done the work like we've done right now. And so we are probably the number one. We are the Greta theologists. Like, it's fine if we make a mistake.
We are the Greta theologists. We have a master's degree, meeting the master's degree in philosophy of Greta.
Meeting the master's. The only one who knows more is Joshua Kiska himself.
I know. I want to interview him someday. After you learn the other things I'm going to tell you, I just have so many questions for them because what the fuck?
Wait, how much more do we have? Oh my god.
I know. I'm going to try to fly. Okay. Hourglass. We see this in Starcatcher, but it's also very big in alchemy. I know I have to get to the symbols of the actual album, but I just had to include the hourglass.
Oh my god.
Sands of Time. Human existence is fleeting. Was used on pirate flags to scare everybody. Okay, Jake Kiska. Who are you trying to scare, mister?
Me, I'm scared.
Me, I'm scared. Hourglass was used in alchemy as a symbol for an hour. And I just included this picture in here because, look, there's a key. Garden's Gate, right? There's an hourglass, Starcatcher, and then there's a Hamsa hand. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Hamsa? Hamsa?
Well, it also looks like
the
eye.
Hand with the eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is protection, power, and strength, and this originates from Mesopotamia, which is like a lot of this alchemy and other theory stuff from that
era.
It
also reminds me of Indigo Streak.
Yes. Okay, flying through. I did this in order of sides on the vinyl. So we got Heat Above, right? And there were a few things that I thought related to it. I think it could be the double suns from Anthem of the Peaceful Army, because there's the eclipse sun and then the sun. It's also the symbol for ether. The little white circle with the dot in it is ether. And then I think it could also relate to spirit, because look at that little circle with all the pinwheelies on it.
Yeah. It's like an amalgamation.
So that's why I think we didn't survive Battle of Garden's Gate. And that's why Heat Above is the end song, because we're in this with the spirit in the ether.
Mm-hmm. Hard agree.
Just putting that out there. My Way Soon is the alchemy symbol for glass, and it also looks like an M
and
a
W.
Yeah. And apparently a rhombus is like a very big symbol back in medieval ages. I don't know why, but it was a very big deal. I think it means like protection or something. Broken bells is the symbol for amalgam, which is a combination of mercury and other metals, which in theory you could say could be used to make a bell. So.
Correct.
Cool. Built by nations. Originally, I said, girlies, I don't know. And then I hit breakthrough, and I have so many questions for Joshua Kiska. I have so many questions for all of them. It is the like symbol or icon of Otto the Great, who was a king of Rome during the medieval times. Like this exact thing is his symbol, because I looked it up and that was the first thing that came up. It's supposed to look like a crown and a spear and then with a robe. Like that's kind of what it's supposed to be.
I almost told you to shut the fuck up, but then I realized I'm saying that every single time. But I mean it. I'm so... Oh my god. That's so cool.
He like, I think, I was trying to read about him, but it was a lot of fancy words, okay guys. And I'm a little dumb sometimes with fancy words. But it seems like he was like a big unifier and like did a lot during his reign. So I think that makes sense. Like the built by nations, like building the world kind of thing.
I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. Hello.
True. Age of Machine. I just thought the symbol was a spiral trying to hypnotize us. It is a certain type of spiral that signifies fortitude and consistency in adversity, or revolution, like consistency, like things being the same, repetitive nature.
Bro, that fits my analysis of that song so well.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my god. I thought they just made a cute little wave.
No. Have you seen, like, the, I forget what it's called now, but, like, the Pythagorean theorem, how you can just keep stacking it over and over again to make a spiral?
Girl, I failed every math class I took.
I forget the name of it, but there's a certain type of spiral where you can, like, just keep making it and it'll make a perfect spiral by using the Pythagorean theorem or whatever.
I believe
But that all started from, like, medieval geometry. So, again, this fits with the time period.
So freaking cool. It
looks exactly like the symbol. Like, that's exactly also, like it.
That's also how the song is written. Like, that's how the form of the song is written.
Yep. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It's repetitive. Again and again and again, and that you try to go. No, I won't do my analysis. I'm sorry.
It's crazy. Tears of rain is the alchemy symbol for sand or gravel. Signifies like drought. Who will bring the rain? You know, makes sense. It's very dry. Gravel is dry. Stardust quartz is the alchemy symbol for zinc. Zinc apparently is the gatekeeper and messenger of human reproduction. Don't know if that fits with what we're going for, but this does. Zinc spark is considered a spark of life and also looks like snow when burned in the air. Mm-hmm. You see all the white clouds in your vinyl insert? And we definitely think that song is like the heat of the battle or the battle about to start. So that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, one, because it's literally like the, it's like the drums of war.
Yeah.
Some people think it's like the gates opening. I don't think it is, though.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so either. Light My Love, I had a little bit of a harder time finding anything. I've seen that it could be an Enso. I don't know if I'm saying, again, I never know if I'm saying anything right. An Enso circle. I don't, that was unverified from Reddit, but.
This one to me feels, and this might just be because I have a personal connection to the song in this way, but like that symbol helped me understand that line, like hate bound by fear will unwind. It didn't click for me until I realized like that hate is the binder of a lot of things. And when you're wearing, like, it, I think about like a bracelet, like if you wear a bracelet, the last thing you want it to do is unwind. But that cycle of hate does unwind in the song, and like that's what it's showing. I feel like that's truly a like homemade one.
Yeah, I think I could agree that it is homemade because it's not, it's very modern in a way. So
I'm gonna put that on my body.
Oh, you should. I'm gonna get something on mine. So I'm getting something on mine tomorrow. Okay, I'm gonna focus on that later though.
Yeah.
Caravel is the alchemy symbol for corpus. I don't know what. Corpuscle.
Isn't it like muscle? Like corpuscle?
Corpuscle. That probably is better.
Yeah, I think it's
corpuscle. It's like the early beliefs of particle theory, basically. They think that we were made of these things, like how with atoms. I don't know how well it fits with the song. I haven't thought about it that much, but
cheers, Caravel. I like Caravel. Cheers. Don't get me wrong.
Cheers. Good for you. The barbarians. I've seen theories that it's like a shield protecting the four warriors. I've seen this one where it says it's distilled vinegar, but I've also seen it turned like a plus instead of an X for vinegar. Vinegar was like a very big ingredient in a lot of alchemy. Like they used it to make a lot of things, but I don't know how that fits in with barbarians, so I wasn't sure. I just threw it on there for fun.
I mean, didn't they say that they like were really, really drunk when they made the barbarians?
Probably.
I think they said that.
Sounds
so
right.
I think Sam and Josh said that on their Reddit AMA.
I have to read those. I haven't read them.
They just say some shit. Like, they're just, it's Reddit.
That's true. It is Reddit. Trip the Light Fantastic. I don't know. It looks like a guy going, yay. You know?
It does. It looks very much like a little guy to me.
Yeah. I was trying really hard. In a way, it kind of reminds me of the Taurus symbol, which I believe the twins might be Tauruses. I could be very wrong. But I think they are.
They are Tauruses.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, yeah! I'm moving on to posters. Okay. So we finished Battle at Garden's Gate. I dove into a lot of the art there. There's a lot of theories there. Too much to unwind, but I want to kind of leave the audience with this knowledge so that they can do their research and they can get taken by the madness. So I'm going to move on to the Strange Horizons posters. If you haven't seen these, there's 5 of them. 4 are specific to each city. One was announcing the entire, like, Strange Horizons tour. They came out in 2021, and it was based on the initial vinyl concept world. Whoa. With location-specific variations for each stop, focusing on themes of Renaissance, rebirth, summer solstice, and regeneration. And as we know, this figure haunts every album except for Starcatcher. So, what's up with that? Anyways, we're starting off with Nashville. That I'm putting this in order of show. This poster includes the state bird and flower, the northern mockingbird and irises. It's got these really pretty smoky and baby blue tones. There's no sun in the sky. It's just kind of like plain Jane. There's a little like Colosseum behind it. It's really interesting picture. I thought state specific meant that the backgrounds would be specific to each state, but it turns out that it's the bird and the flowers that are specific to each state, which is, I think, kind of cool.
I think that that venue is in Nashville, though, right? There's like a little Parthenon. Isn't there?
Maybe. I haven't ever been. But some of the other ones don't have things that apply to the states.
Well, Chicago, because I've looked at the Chicago one because I like it a lot. The Chicago, like, skyline, not skyline, but the little... It's from Chicago. I would assume that that venue is also in Nashville.
Perhaps, but some of the other ones don't
look
like that. I'll show you. This one's for the Bridgeport, Connecticut one. I live not too far from here, and this ain't what Bridgeport, Connecticut looks like. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
There's no lighthouse in Connecticut? Somewhere?
There is a lighthouse, but, like, other than that, not really. There's, like, many lighthouses in Connecticut.
That's probably why they put that there, then.
Yeah. But it does have the state bird, which is the robin, and the flower, which is the mountain laurel. So. And then we have Chicago, which did not have the state bird on it, because I looked up the state bird and that was the cardinal, and that does not look like a cardinal on the poster. So I don't know what happened.
No, that's not a cardinal.
There. So, but it does have the state flower, which is the common blue violet. This one's very like cotton candy. I don't know.
Love
and then this one's
one.
It is really pretty. I do like the Chicago one. This one is Los Angeles. It does include the state bird and flower, California quail, and California poppy. Very purple, hazy tones. And the moon is right behind the Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
And this caused me to do some more looking at all of them side by side.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is setting.
Shut up. Well, okay. Did you also talk about the fact that the Master has a divinity halo?
I did not, but that is something that is there on all of them.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's very interesting. You can kind of see that the sun is setting behind them, but also the backgrounds are evolving.
Yeah.
You're coming from like very old age to very modern city.
Yeah.
And while we're already talking about posters...
Yeah.
We're diving into the Dreams and Gold posters.
So many. So cool.
You could see that there's the key. There's a lot of the symbols, the alchemy symbols plastered amongst them. When I was looking at the, I already forget the name of it. That type of medieval religion aspect thingy. Esotericism.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that. A lot of this art looked a lot like that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you could see different motifs, I think, too, from even the different album variations. Like the white birds are in some of them. The big eye in the center there, and the keys. Yeah. There's a lot to do with like patterns in these as well. Like very rhythmic, very consistent patterns, which I think is very interesting.
The one to the top left-hand corner reminds me a ton of like biblical imagery from medieval times when everything is sort of like flat and you're supposed to read it as a story. I don't remember a ton of my art history classes, but I remember specifically just like back in that age, like 1200, 1300, 1400, you weren't supposed to like look at art to appreciate it. You were supposed to like read it as a story. And so all the elements are supposed to be like giving you things to like meditate on and think of as like a lesson, essentially.
Yeah, I would agree. So I'm just going to fly through some more of the posters. Flying through. There's just a lot. And you can pause and look at the posters yourself as you please.
Or look them up on Reddit. I got all those photos from a guy on Reddit who saved them all. So
thanks, guy on Reddit, for saving them all.
You're a boss. Sorry, I don't know your name, but you're chill as hell.
We love you. Thanks, guy.
So, okay, now we're ready. We're ready for the newest era.
Yeah, Starcatcher. Cool. The album artwork is sand.
It's sand.
No art, just sand. And I'm sad.
It is its own kind of. I'm gunning for Starcatcher to be more intricate than it is, I think, because it does leave a lot to be desired. Especially since we had such rich art in Dreams of Gold era. And but at the same time, I think when I remember listening to Josh talk about the artist that they worked with to make the vinyl cover for, not vinyl, but just cover in general for Battle Gardens Gate, and how it started out more intricate than it ended up. And that was because they wanted it, the focus to be more of the music than the, you know, whatever it looked like.
Yeah. So
maybe that's what they wanted with Starcatcher.
I get it, but man, I love looking at art.
Me too. Man. Me too.
You could have just put the archer's ass all over the cover of it, and I would have been all over that.
Listen, you know I would have.
Lindsay has a thing for the archer's ass. No, let me tell you.
I can't. No. Listen, you got some art. Look. Is this not the fucking, like, desert that we end up with?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think so too.
I'm glad.
Okay. Remember this thing?
Yeah.
Remember this guy?
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that Pythagorean theorem, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a way where you can just make a spiral out of a Pythagorean theorem, and it's looks exactly like how a nautilus, is that how you say it? Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say that like a million times. Right. But it looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, everything is still connecting, even if it doesn't seem like it, it's still connecting.
Now I'm just looking at, maybe you have it in the slideshow, but now I'm just looking at the art from Starcatcher.
I don't have the pictures in there.
I have no.
It just looks like a journey through the sands of time.
The sands of time, literally. That's what this is to me.
Yeah. So we have this poster, which I believe is the one that's on their website for sale. It's different than the one that they had at the first leg of the tour. So this one.
Oh my god, what if we get a new one for the second leg?
We have to. At least they got to put new locations on it, but.
Yeah.
Oh god, I'm going to need more frames.
I'm gonna need more money.
Oh god. So this one, I see the garden, I see the sword, I see, it almost looks like the heavens raining down at the top in a way. You see the stairs of the garden, or is it like the stairs
Stairway to Heaven.
You see the sky falling.
Is it, what is it?
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then I have the actual tour poster over here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a live lesson.
Okay. We got the little Nautilus behind the hourglass here. Okay. We still got the sword. We just have like an intricate framework around it. But here's that hourglass again. Sands of Time, which proves that somehow this is purgatory. And Josh actually said that, I believe, in his monologue about Starcatcher, that it is a sort of purgatory. So
he did.
I'm solidifying that.
Well, especially because now I'm just connecting things, because we know that the shell is literally like the same shape as Age of Machine, and we know that Age of Machine is literally about being stuck in a loop.
Yep.
The fuck?
Yep. So we are stuck in a time loop, ladies and gentlemen. This is time going round and around in purgatory. I rest my case.
It's, what's the fucking, when you try to make a cultural reference, but you can't. What's the movie? Groundhog's Day!
Oh, yes. It's that, but we're in purgatory.
But purgatory.
But purgatory. And then the visualizers are some form of art.
Oh my god, dude. We could spend eons on these and we have no fucking clue what we're talking about.
No. I do believe that this Meeting the Master one is some sort of like chamber of sorts. Like,
That's in the garden for all I am concerned. That's in the garden.
It is in the garden. I think the one for the archer is also in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I think Meeting the Master, I don't know if that's in the garden or near the garden. It looks like different nature than what we see in the garden.
I think that the Meeting the Master music video is not within the garden. I think it is the master meeting them outside of the garden.
Yes. I think it's in the hills behind the garden.
Wherever the boys started out in the forest at the beginning.
I think
that's it.
Did they wake up from dying and are in purgatory back where they started from the fires?
Maybe.
What if it's like a video game where you die and you have to start over in the same...
Well, okay, so
the beginning of the level.
Well, we say a lot about this, like, we didn't survive the battle, right? But I do think that... I don't think that means that it starts over, and I don't also necessarily mean that... I don't necessarily think that it means that purgatory is any specific kind of place. I think it could be part of the continual effort to get wherever they want to go. Like, that's part of the directive of their, like, characters or wherever their story is ending up. Like, that you're not always going to go. It's not always from the Shire to Mordor. It's like you go in a lot of places in between, right? So maybe they go back, maybe they go forward. Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's it for our slides, man.
Yay! Oh my god, dude. That whole thing with the
I was one. so surprised with Otto the Great. Where did he come from? Whose brain said, yes, this Roman emperor, let's put his symbol.
Something tells me Jake.
You know what? Yeah.
Something tells me. Yeah. Yeah. Something tells me he was just like.
For those of you listening on audio, I have a mini Jake with me and I'm yelling at him.
He is pretty adorable, very derpy. fully knitted.
I love him. Anyways. That's another story for another day.
Thank you so much for enlightening me. Literally.
Of course.
Like, I love that, like, you're also thinking the same way about this shit, because I remember, like, looking at the symbols for the first time for the Battle of Garden's Gate and going crazy, like, which one is which? Like, what do they mean? Like, they have to mean something, right? It's unfathomable to me, the people that are like, it's just a song. Why?
No.
Why would anyone in their right mind be like, I just put it there because it looked cool? No. No. Mm-mm. There's more. There's more here.
There's more. And I keep finding more. I'm sure, like, if I spent another good hour researching some of this stuff, I would have found more. But I'm putting it on you guys to do your research. Tell us what you find. Tell us your theories after listening to this episode. Do you think the colors of the Tabag variants are in the order that we think they are? Do you think they're in a different variation order? Let us know.
Tag us in the comments.
Tag us in the comments, guys. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Peaceful Army Podcast.
And you TikTok have a very hard time remembering that.
Because we have Peaceful Army Pod on TikTok and Peaceful Army Podcast on Instagram. So I'm like, we should just change which it. One?
We should change them both to pod. Because that's what the cool kids say. The pod.
It's my pod. Yeah.
Listen to my pod. God, this one was beefy, but I hope you guys enjoyed it, because this is the real shit.
Yeah, this is what you've been waiting for.
Waited all your life.
I'm so happy. Yeah, you did wait all your life. But now we're going to have to say farewell for now. So,
absolutely. Because sleepy. Getting into Greta theory and history gets me real.
Indeed. All right, guys, we will see you in 2 weeks for another episode. It's going to be a surprise, so get ready, get excited. Well, you'll get a sneak peek probably the day before, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you stick around for next episode. Make sure to follow us. All the socials are going to be linked down below, and we love you.
Love you, Grusties. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.